Thanks for talking with us, Kathleen.
You're welcome.
Take us back to that day in 1986. What happened?
So it was December 4th, 1986. My best friend's younger brother, Chris Hans, had told me several weeks before that he had big plans. He didn't tell me specifically what the big plans were, but I knew he was a pretty unhappy individual, and I suppose I could have connected the dots if I would have been older and smarter. It was a shortened day at school. It was at Fergus County High School in Lewistown, Montana. It was a shortened day at school because it was the state girls' basketball championships. And so we just knew that things were going to happen real fast. We were going to spend about 20 minutes in each class. But so the last class of the day was my last class of the day was French 2. And our teacher for that was the girls' cheerleading sponsor. So she was not in class today, so we had a substitute named Henrietta Smith. As soon as the class started, I noticed Chris was my French partner. He sat next to me. I had known him for years because he was my best friend's brother. His books were sitting on the table, but I didn't see him. And so class started, and Mrs. Smith took roll and asked me where he was, and I said I didn't know. And about that time, there was a knock on the door. And one of my classmates got up and answered it, and it was Chris, not saying anything, didn't respond to my classmate's question about what he needed or why he didn't just come in. So my classmate turned to Mrs. Smith, and she was actually handing out pictures. She wanted to show us a trip that she had taken to France many years before, which I was especially excited about seeing because I was planning on going to France that summer. She was very well liked, very well appreciated by everyone. She was kind of everyone's favorite substitute. Anyway, the classmate asked her to go talk to Chris. So she stepped back to the back of the room where the door was, and we were all sort of curious about what was going on, so we all kind of turned and watched, and all of a sudden there was a gun and a big loud boom, and Mrs. Smith fell back, and there was lots of blood. So Chris took off down the hall and shot the high school vice principal who was coming to investigate what the large boom was. So he got shot and almost killed, saved only because he got shot in the abdomen, and then Chris aimed for his head, but the gun jammed, and so luckily he survived that. He got pulled into an art class where there was a parent there who had also been a medic in the Army, so his life was saved by that man. Unfortunately, Mrs. Smith didn't make it. We ended up having to jump over her dead body to get out of the classroom to safety.
She was killed instantly.
She was, I hope it was instant. I have memories of it not being very instant, and I wish I would have stopped and held her hand while she died, but I didn't. I ran away.
What went through your mind at the moment that happened?
Well, I think at first we thought it was fireworks. We smelled the smoke. We weren't sure. And then when we saw the blood, we realized, I think we all thought it was a joke. Chris wasn't exactly known for his jokes, but you know, he was kind of floundering. Maybe he thought it was a funny thing to do. Maybe he was trying to impress his friends. And then when we saw the blood, I think we realized it was no joke.
This was before there were school shootings on the same scale that there have been in the past 20 years, say.
Right.
I mean, I just am thinking it must have been different for you guys at that point.
It was. I think in fact, the principal of the high school later became really well known for writing safety plans for other high schools because ours was considered the first. Now I know, after lots of research, I know that it was not the first school shooting, but it was the first school shooting that was nationally known. We got, you know, the media descended upon our little town. We couldn't make phone calls for 3 days because all the lines were taken up by the media. It was just completely overwhelming I mean, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know what we were doing. We received very little therapy because of what, you know, we were the first. Wow, yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing to be known for.
Fast forwarding to today, when school shootings are coming up again and again and again in the news, how do you respond?
Not well. For example, Columbine really messed me up. I spent about 3 days on the computer. I had two little small children that I really thought about abandoning to drive up to Littleton because back in the day, we didn't connect with other people that had been through school shootings. We left less than a year after my school shooting happened. We moved from Lewistown. So I didn't have a whole lot of support or, you know, it would have been nice to know other people. Anyway, I really wanted to connect with other people when Columbine happened. It didn't happen for me because I had two small children I couldn't abandon. So either I spend all my time looking for information on the school shooting or I spend my time completely trying to ignore it. Either way doesn't really help me. Either way, I know I'm going to spend some time in bed crying. Still after 30 years.
I feel like that's something similar to how a lot of people process this, is either you're constantly spending time trying to follow what's going on and listening to media reports and listening to people talk about this, or you just want to tune it out. And as a society, we're having a hard time agreeing how to stop incidents like this from happening. What do you think is missing from our debates?
Wow. I think that we are so bound and determined to be right that we don't listen to the other people debating. Unfortunately, this is going to take compromise. We're going to have to, I have a certain view about things, but I have to realize that my view may not be the end view. We have to come together and try to be kind to each other and realize we're going to have to compromise and not everyone is going to get their way 100%.
What is your view about things?
My personal view is that guns need to be gathered up and melted into a big pot and become pretty little sculptures. I realize that we live in America and there's a Second Amendment, and my view is not, my personal preference is not what's going to happen.
How do you hope to move from that view to something that, you know, people say around here who have lots of guns could go for?
Well, I feel like we have to talk about it. I there's nothing wrong with making a big list of what everyone thinks could happen and then crossing off what's not going to happen. For example, no one's going to melt guns down. At the same time, I really hope that we're not going to just ignore it just because it's a gun. So there's got to be some middle ground there somewhere.
What do you think the step in the right direction is to find the middle ground besides talking about it? Because we have so many ways of talking about things.
Vote. We got to vote. We got to get the word out and find some folks that are willing to make some changes. I just don't feel like currently politically, I mean, kids are dying. Kids that keep dying. And we're more concerned about guns and the gun lobby than those kids. That's astounding to me.
Kathleen Davidson is a Cortez resident and a former student of Fergus County High School in Lewistown, Montana. She witnessed a school shooting in 1986. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
You bet. I appreciate it so much.